bite, bite. Chew, chew, chew. Bite what you chew with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
Shouldn't it be chew what you bite?
Bite what you chew what you bite. No, it's bites like megabytes.
Oh,
kilobytes.
Okay.
Get it? B-Y-T-E.
I gotcha.
It is the Computer Corner right here, News Radio 620 KTAR. Chad Pyle, Brandon Disney, Ken Colburn on actual assignment this week. He's at the Consumer Electronics Show, which is being held and is held each year annually in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's been there since Wednesday, probably pretty sick of Las Vegas by this point, all the smoke and the loud sounds. And of course, when you're at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, it is huge. It's like many, 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 many indoor football fields joined together with floors, and usually two or three floors of stuff. Stuff ranging from, gosh, home theater and car stereo to computers and gadgets and DVRs and televisions and anything you can think about that is electronic at all that would be used by regular people in their homes or in their businesses, but generally consumers, meaning people who are buying in their homes. It's a huge show about anything that they might buy that has any kind of electronics whatsoever into it. So as you can imagine, computers and technology are a major part.
Yeah, and it's very interactive. You get to mess with stuff. You get to play with the new cool stuff. And it's fun.
Yeah, there's cool stuff to do there, but that many days of it, I don't know if I could handle all that.
Well, from what I mean, just like you mentioned how big it is, it takes a few days if you intend to actually try and see everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely, in past years, I've gone up. I didn't go up this year because I've been doing lots of traveling lately and just wanted to stick around. But, yeah, there's lots and lots to see, and to try to get through it all is very overwhelming. Definitely can't be done in one day. It's like visiting the Smithsonian back in D.C. You can't do that in a day. You need like a week for
right.
that. So let's jump to an email here from Earl. Earl asks, can files be transferred from one computer to another using USB? If so, what's the easiest way? Well, Earl, to answer your question, no and yes. If you mean, can I take a USB cable and somehow plug it between the two computers and will Windows magically just see them like some kind of network, the answer generically is no. Now, there is some software out there that'll let you do some file transferring through your USB cable, but you're going to have to purchase that software and the cable and make that work. You might be familiar with another technology called FireWire that lets you actually build a network just on the FireWire cables, but USB was never designed to do that. It's a serial interface and a way to connect things.
Peripheral
devices, generally. Now, the reason I say no and yes, and here's where the yes comes into play, is something that's very, very popular that a lot of people buy these days are called thumb drives or flash drives or jump drives. And these are little devices that are about the size of your thumb, and we mean all the way from the tip of your thumb down to where it like goes to your hand, so about that size. And they plug into a USB drive, and if you're running Windows 2000 or XP, there's no drivers or anything required. It just sees them as a removable drive. And usually they come in sizes anywhere from about 128 megabytes these days on up to about 2 gigabytes if you want to get nuts. Now, these things just plug in within a few seconds. They're recognized by the system, and they're just a simple drive letter that would show up in, like, My Computer or in your Windows Explorer. And you can drag and drop or cut and paste or transfer files to these things in any regular way like you'd work with a floppy or zip drive or something along those lines. Now, what you do is, of course, take this stuff on computer A, copy the stuff on that you want, then move over to computer B, plug it in, and copy it back off. Again, you're going to need to have Windows 2000 or XP to see this automatically. You also might be able to get one of these things to work with Windows 98 SE or Windows ME, but it will probably require some software or some drivers or things, which probably these days don't come with this device. You'll have to go to the manufacturer's website, download, install, and get them set up. So I don't necessarily recommend these things unless you're running one of the newer OSs. For sure, Windows 2000 and XP usually handle them just fine. So hope that helps answer your question, Earl, or anybody else who might have that question. By the way, these things are very inexpensive to buy. You probably, for less than $50, you'll find a 512-megabyte version, which
should
is a lot.
Suffice for most people.
Yeah, that holds almost as much as a CD would hold, and it's tiny, and it's convenient, and it's quick, and it's easy, and there's no burning. And you can, of course, write and delete and overwrite and change information on this thing pretty much unlimited. So
stick it on your keychain. It's yep. always with you.
No moving parts on it, so it's very rugged and survives just about anything that you're going to do to it rather other than crushing.
Yep.
So hope that answers your question. What do we got here? We've got about 4 minutes, which I think is plenty of time to at least find out what Rick, who has Service Pack 2 issues, has to say and maybe provide some solutions. Rick, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Oh, thanks, guys. Great program.
Thank you.
I called you last week. I'm subscribed to your newsletter. I called you last week about the pop-up browser, about the pop-up window bar that keeps flying up on me in Service Pack 2, that I want to get rid of it. You know, I've got other utilities that I use to take care of that problem. I don't need that bothering me all the time. I'm still looking at a way to get rid of it.
So you're talking about the little bar that when you install Service Pack 2, that is a new addition to Internet Explorer that basically
Correct.
Is a pop-up stopper, and it pops up and says something on the top bar, and you can right-click and allow the pop-up. But you've got some other utility that allows it. We promised that we would include it in our follow-up newsletter.
And yes, we did.
And I'm looking actually at the newer newsletter, but the follow-up newsletter, Chad's telling me, yeah, we did include it in that.
Yes. What you got to do, Rick, is it's pretty simple. If you go to Microsoft, if you open up Internet Explorer,
sure.
Under Tools, you'll see an item that says pop-up blocker.
Sure.
Go click on that, and then you'll see turn off pop-up blocker.
Doesn't work.
Hmm.
No, it still flies up on me.
Imagine.
I've done all the settings. I've even gone into the area, you know, to where you do deal with ActiveX and things like that, and that little window still flies up.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it makes me go through about two or three changes when I'm downloading. I got to click out of that window. I got to allow the program to download all that stuff that goes on, you know, and I'd like it gone because I have software that deals with anything that I need as far as window pop-ups.
Did you get that radio show follow-up that would have been sent out probably around, gosh, the 3rd or 4th of this? So it would have been about Tuesday of this week?
I signed up. You know, I've been getting your newsletter all along. But.
Okay. Tell you what you can do. It's just to make sure you're following the step-by-step because we tried this, of course, and it works for us. So either there's something else wrong with your machine or maybe the steps are just not quite right. But if you want to go to our free help website at computerproblems.com, look for the little button that says subscribe and actually click that. It'll take you to the subscribe page.
Okay.
Now, what's important here is that on that page, when you're going to subscribe, you can see on the right-hand side the last 10 or so newsletters that we've sent.
Yeah,
gotcha. So click on the one that says January 2nd, 2005.
Okay.
And it'll have the step-by-step instructions in there. And hopefully that'll help solve your problem.
Actually,
oh, yeah.
Rick, something else you can try, too, is if you go to Tools, go to Backup to Pop-Up Blocker, and
okay.
go to Pop-Up Blocker Settings.
Yeah.
This isn't going to turn it off, but what you can do is there's an option there, a checkbox that says Show Information Bar when a pop-up is blocked. You
okay.
can actually turn that off, and that way you're not getting that little information bar that's popping up every time.
I've done that too.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, so I'll get that January 2nd item that you're talking about and see what it's got to say.
Yeah, give that a shot and see if those step by steps don't help you. If it doesn't, that means you've got something else going on here. Either Windows has been modified in some way, or it's some other pop-up blocker that's in there that's causing your frustration. So give that a shot, and of course, you know where to find us if that doesn't work out for you. Thanks for the call, Rick. That's how it works, 277-5827, 277-KTAR. We got one free line open. We got over half an hour of show left, which means lots of time for your calls, your questions, your frustrations, your consternation. We'll take those things here. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Networking 101. We've talked a little bit about some of the things that make networking simple and some of the reasons why you might want it, but we're going to talk about some basic things you can do to set up a home network and why you might want to do those things. To share maybe your internet connection or that printer that you've got, or maybe just transfer some files. It's not as hard as you think. You may even have the tools or the pieces of hardware you need to get that set up. So stick around for that. And of course, again, more of your calls and questions. If you're trying to dial in, you can't get through, we've got another alternative for you. It is our website at datadoctors.com. You click on the radio show section and look for links to ask a question or make a suggestion right there on the right-hand side. And while you're there, of course, subscribe to our newsletter if you want to get a follow-up to this and every radio show. And also, you can look at the resources about Networking 101. So when we come back, we're going to talk about those things and your calls. It is the Computer Corner right here, News Radio 620, KTAR, Brandon Disney, and Chad Pyle. We'll be back right after the news with Jamie West.